bones. Whale's bones, he thought at first, and then saw the white triangles edged like knives, and knew they were the bones of a dragon. They came to the place. Sunlight on the sea glittered through crevices between the bones. The lintel of the doorway was a thigh bone longer than a man. On it stood a human skull, staring with hollow eyes at the hills of Celador. They stopped there, and as they looked up at the skull, a man came out of the doorway under it. He wore an armor of gilt bronze of ancient fashion. It was rent as if by hatchet blows, and the jeweled scabbard of his sword was empty. His face was stern, with arched black brows and narrow nose. His eyes were dark, keen, and sorrowful. There were wounds on his arms and in his throat and side. They bled no longer, but they were mortal wounds. He stood erect and still, and looked at them. Ged took one step toward him. They were somewhat alike, thus face to face. "Thou art Aerith Akpi," Ged said. The other gazed at him steadily and nodded once, but did not speak. Even thou must do his bidding. Rage was in Ged's voice. Oh, my lord, and best and bravest of us all, rest in thy honor and in death. And raising his hands, Ged brought them down in a great gesture, saying again those words he had spoken to the multitudes of the dead. His hands left behind on the air a moment a broad, bright track. When it was gone, the armored man was gone, and only the sun dazzled on the sand where he had stood. Ged struck at the house of bones with his staff, and it fell and vanished away. Nothing of it was left but one great rib bone that stuck up out of the sand. He turned to Orm Embar. Is it here, Orm Embar? Is this the place? The dragon opened his mouth and made a huge, gasping hiss. Here, on the last shore of the world. That is well. Then holding his black yew staff in his left hand, Ged opened his arms in the gesture of invocation and spoke. Though he spoke in the language of the making, yet Arryn understood at last, as all who hear that invocation must understand, for it has power over all. Now do I summon you and hear my enemy, before my eyes and in the flesh, and bind you by the word that will not be spoken till time's end to come. But where the name of him summoned should have been spoken, Ged said only, my enemy. A silence followed, as if the sound of the sea had faded. It seemed to Arryn that the sun failed and dimmed, though it stood high in a clear sky. A darkness came over the beach as though one looked through smoked glass. Directly before Ged it grew very dark, and it was hard to see what was there. It was as if nothing was there, nothing the light could fall on. A formlessness. Out of it came a man, suddenly. It was the same man they had seen upon the dune, black-haired and long-armed, lithe and tall. He held now a long rod or blade of steel, graven all down its length with runes, and he tilted this toward Ged as he faced him. But there was something strange in the look of his eyes, as if they were sun-dazzled and could not see. I come, he said, at my own choosing, in my own way. You cannot summon me, Archmage. I am no shadow. I am alive. I only am alive. You think you are, but you are dying. Dying. Do you know what this is I hold? It is the staff of the Grey Mage, he who silenced Neregur. the master of my art. But I am the master now, and I have had enough of playing games with you." With that, he suddenly reached out the steel blade to touch Ged, who stood as if he could not move and could not speak. Aaron stood a pace behind him, and all his will was to move, but he could not stir. He could not even put his hand on his sword hilt, and his voice was stopped in his throat. But over Ged and Aaron, over their heads, vast and fiery, the great body of the dragon came in one writhing leap and plunged down full force upon the other, so that the charmed steel blade entered into the dragon's mailed breast to its full length. But the man was borne down under his weight and crushed and burnt. Rising up again from the sand, arching his back and beating his veined wings, Orm Embar vomited out gouts of fire and screamed. He tried to fly, but he could not fly. Malign and cold, the metal lay in his heart. He crouched, and the blood ran black and poisonous, steaming from his mouth, and the fire died in his nostrils till they became like pits of ash. He laid down his great head on the sand. So died Orm Embar where his forefather Orm died, on the bones of Orm buried in the sand. But where Orm had struck his enemy to earth, there lay something ugly and shriveled, like the body of a big spider dried up in its web. It had been burned by the dragon's breath and crushed by his taloned feet. Yet, as Aaron watched, it moved. It crawled away a little from the dragon. The face lifted up toward them. There was no comeliness left in it, only ruin, old age that had outlived old age. The mouth was withered. The sockets of the eyes were empty and had long been empty. So Ged and Aaron saw at last the living face of their enemy. It turned away. The burnt, blackened arms reached out, and a darkness gathered into them, that same shapeless darkness that swelled and dimmed the sunlight. Between